After I began to take my walk with the Lord seriously, after my encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist at the retreat, I began to really prioritize Jesus every day. And as I began to prioritize Jesus every day and grow as an intentional disciple of Jesus Christ, another one of my buddies was also growing as an intentional disciple of Jesus Christ as well. So we began to hold each other accountable to prayer. We began to pray with each other, to share graces, to share struggles. It was a gift for both of us as we were trying to become the saints that we knew God wanted us to be. But I still had other friends too. I still had other friends, some who were just good people in general who I also hung out with. And on one occasion, I was with my buddy who was also an intentional disciple of Jesus. And he said to me, he said, "Hey, did you hang out with this particular group of people recently?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, well, why didn't you invite me to hang out too?" And I said, "Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to." And he said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Friends do that. We do everything together." And I was like, "Whoa, okay, this is getting awkward." "No, we don't. You know, like, I'll hang out with you, but like, I can have other friends too." And he said, no, we're supposed to tell each other everything, always hang out with each other." And I was like, "Dude, you're not my girlfriend, all right? So whatever it is that's going on, you're like, stop, please," right? And I began to like back away from the friendship because I felt like he was controlling me. I felt like he was trying to possess me, right? St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he says that once you possess the gift, any gifts, you will lose the gift. Gifts, people, friends are not meant to be possessed. They're not meant to be grasped after. They're not meant to be controlled. Like we control things. We control objects. We use objects. Right? If I have a pencil, I can write with that pencil, do whatever I want with it. I can erase with that pencil. We started back up with our religious education classes. So Wendy and Jamie, in the class, sometimes you give the kids pencils to write. And do they still play that game where you get one pencil and one person holds it and the other person pops it? You know what I'm talking about? Did y'all do that too when y'all were growing up? Are they doing that in your class? Yeah, and then you get your pencil and you throw it at them, right? We don't have nuns anymore, so we have to do something to our kids. So instead of rulers, we use pencils now. But we can do that with objects. We can use objects, but with people, with gifts, we cannot control them. Whenever a gift is controlled, a gift will resist. That's what happened with Jesus Christ in today's gospel. He's hanging out with the disciples, and then he tells them, "Hey, look, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again." And when he says this, Peter knew Christ was a great gift to him. Peter enjoyed spending time with Christ. And Peter says, "God forbid you do this. God forbid this. I won't let it happen." What did Peter do? Peter's trying to tell Jesus how to be God. Peter's trying to control God. And how did Jesus Christ respond to Peter? He resisted him. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Right? Get behind me. Because he recognized that it was Satan who was influencing Peter to say that. Satan was influencing Peter to try to control Jesus. Because that's what Satan's MO is. That's what Satan did whenever Jesus Christ went into the desert. After he was baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, remember, the skies open up, Spirit comes down, Father's voice is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus Christ journeys into the desert. And when he gets into the desert, Satan comes with him. And when Satan goes there with him, what does Satan do? He tries to manipulate Jesus' prayer to the Father, telling Jesus how he should pray, what he should pray for, right? Controlling God. He tried to control God. We cannot do that. We can't control the Lord. As Christians, we're called to be intentional disciples of Jesus, which means we're called to imitate Jesus, which means we're called to pray as Jesus himself prayed. So how did Jesus pray? Right, Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, like, let this cup pass from me." He expressed a desire, but then he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." That's how we're called to pray. The way that Satan wants us to pray, because he does want us to pray, he wants us to try to manipulate God in prayer. Right? In the beginning of our walk with the Lord, the first attack from the enemy is going to be to not pray at all. Right? That's the first attack. You don't have time for prayer. You're too busy for that. And he'll propose all these good ideas, other good things that we should do. But whenever we become really intentional with our walk and prioritize Jesus through our calendar, through the five W's that we went over last week, the five W's being, let me see, deacon. What are the five W's? What? When? Who? Where? Why? And, oh, good job. Deacon, what? What I'm about to say. Because JR got it last week. Let me answer. All right, so the five W's, let's say them together. They are? Whoa. Wendy, I want to hear your voice. Jamie? All right. Sherry, y'all work for me. I expect. Y'all are getting paychecks from me. I expect y'all to know. You ready? All right. Together. Yeah, okay, something like that. Yeah. Not all together, but you know, y'all got it. So when am I going to spend time with Jesus? Where am I going to spend time with Jesus? What are Jesus and I going to do together in our time spent together? Who's going to hold me accountable and why? Whenever we have this structure in our walk with the Lord, Satan can't tempt us to not spend time with Jesus. Right? He recognized, like, Peter has the apostles to hold him accountable. Right? He's not going to just not hang out with Jesus. But what I can tempt Peter to do, I can tempt Peter to try to control Jesus like a thing, to manipulate Jesus, right? To play like he's God. And that's what he does with us. So he knows I can't get them to not pray because they have an accountability partner now. There's someone holding them accountable to their time with the Lord. But I can certainly inspire them with thoughts and prayer to control God. God, I want to be healed. And if you don't heal me, I'm going to be mad. How many of us have ever prayed, don't raise your hand, how many of us have ever prayed and after you prayed for something, it didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen and you got mad, all right? Okay, no, forget that. Raise your hand. How many of us have gotten mad at God before, all right? A few times. Okay, great. Just want to make sure we're all, that is not good, okay? It is not good. I blame me too. I've been there, done that, right? We cannot control God, right? We're called to propose our ideas to God, our prayers of intercession, our requests, our desires, but we do not tell God because this is what I think is best, that I know it's what's best, because God sees beyond us. All we can ever see is the chapter of our life we're living in. God sees the entire book that is written, okay? So when we pray in relation with God, we're called to imitate his son, Jesus Christ, who expressed desires, let this cup pass from me, but submitted to God's will being done. By saying, not my will, but Lord, thy will be done. That's the posture we're called to have as disciples of Jesus. Okay, practical. How can we practically cultivate this kind of relationship with the Lord? We're already consistent with him, but how can we cultivate a relationship where we treat him like a person and not like an object that we use to get what we want? All right, what I would propose is this, is the way that we pray has a direct effect upon the way that we enter into relationships with people. And the way that we enter into relationships with people has a direct effect on the way in which we pray. Rewind a little bit and bring it back to my buddy. My buddy, who got mad at me that time for not always hanging out and not whatever, the way that he prayed, and I know this because I knew him, he would get mad a lot in prayer. Whenever God wouldn't do what he wanted God to do, he had pity parties, right? He, like little kids, start kicking their feet and everything, little tantrums, because he didn't get his way. And so because that's the way he prayed in relationship with God, whenever his friends did not do what he wanted them to do, he would have pity parties and throw tantrums, all right? The way we pray affects the way we treat people, all right? So for our task this week, what I want to invite us to do is focus on people so that it can affect the way that we pray. What do I want to invite us to do? I want to invite us this week to be honest with our family members and our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors. And in conversation, like on Monday when we have Labor Day, in conversation, express desires. Express a desire. For instance, Monday, I desire to have a burger with you, all right? But what do you think is best for me? Right. Open the conversation up to them responding in freedom. Not telling them what they're going to do, but it's expressing a desire. I desire to go to whatever this week. What do you want to do? Right. What do you think is best for us and our family right now, financially? What's best for us to be committed to our prayer time with Jesus? Is it good for us to do this? Does it make sense what I'm saying? So in conversation, don't dominate. Don't control. Don't manipulate. Don't tell people what we're doing. Invite. Ask. Propose ideas, desires. But leave it open to the other to give their suggestions as well. Whenever we do this with people, what's going to happen is it's going to roll over into our relationship with the only person who we've actually been created to be in relationship with, who is Jesus. And when we talk to Jesus in our consistent prayer time on our calendar, we're going to be able to express prayers of intercession, desires, thoughts, feelings. But then we always will end it with, but God, you do what's best. You know far beyond me. You know far beyond me, so you do what's best for me in my walk towards eternity and becoming the saint I'm called to be. You do what's best for my family, for my friends, for my work, for my state of life, for my ministry, for my apostolate, Lord. But you do what's best, though, for me to be able to glorify our Heavenly Father with you for all eternity. This will become our disposition in prayer whenever we treat people this way. And when we treat people this way, we protect ourselves from being tempted by the evil spirit the way Peter was tempted. And we open ourselves up to receive the graces that God has in store for us in our walk towards becoming the saints that God has destined for us to become.